This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Baby, then let me be your love and take me back. Put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Let me be,
oh, let him be
your teddy bear. I don't want to be a tiger, cause tigers play too rough. I don't want to be a lion, cause lions ain't the kind you love enough. But as I want to be your teddy bear, put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Oh, let me be,
oh, let him be
your teddy bear.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of Elvis Presley. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good morning. And welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. That was Elvis Presley doing Teddy Bear. God, he's been gone since 1977. It's hard to believe. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, who, by the way, selects a lot of the music that you hear every morning on the show. We are indebted to him. We thank you very much for being with us. It is Tuesday, August the 3rd. A lot going on the show today. In a few minutes, Joe Lupino Esposito of the Pacific Legal Foundation is going to be here. We're going to talk about raising the blinds on the Washington rulemakers. You know those people that run around federal agencies crafting all the regulations that you never know who they are. Well, we're going to talk about them. We're going to out them. Stay tuned for it. And Biden Press Secretary Jen Psaki tears into Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on how he's handling the pandemic here in Florida. We are going to get some thoughts about that, along with some other things that are going on, from the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. Stay tuned for that. And speaking of the virus, a new Gallup poll is out. How Americans feel about how everything is going with the pandemic. It is not too optimistic, unfortunately. We're going to look at the numbers. So stay tuned for that as well. And are you watching the Olympics? Do you care? Are you secretly rooting against some of these American athletes because of their stance politically? Anyway, in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 athletes with the most Olympic medals. We'll find out if Ed knows who number one is. We'll see. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, you want the best haircut in Tampa Bay? I'm telling you, you got to listen here. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in Dunedin. It's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. Usually, they have 2 to 3 barbers there, have to make an appointment. They do a wonderful job, and the price you cannot beat. Seniors, you get an even better deal. But call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And let us tip our hat to Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, don't they do a wonderful job? You feel so good when you listen to them. Such a homey atmosphere, you know? They make you feel comfortable. It's like a pair of your most comfortable slippers. Good Morning Clearwater. All right. Well, there's a lot of things going on, as per usual. They're trying desperately to pass some sort of spending bill. They are, it looks like they're going to miss the debt ceiling deadline. What does that mean, by the way, the debt ceiling deadline? Well, time is running out for Congress to raise the money to keep the government going. They either have to raise the debt ceiling. See, we're already past technically what we are allowed to spend as the U.S. government, the debt we are allowed to get into. We're past it. But lawmakers missed a weekend deadline to extend Donald Trump's 2-year suspension of the nation's borrowing limit, which was automatically reinstated August 1st, 2 days ago. The debt ceiling hit $22 million 3 years ago. 2 years ago, excuse me, 2 years ago, it hit $22 million. That is the legal limit on the total amount of debt that the federal government can borrow to spend. according to the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. The Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget is not doing a very good job. We're $28 trillion in debt. Does anybody know that? Anyway, once the suspension lifted, the new limit was reinstated around $28.5 trillion. Oh, God. Why do we talk about this? Nobody gives a continental damn about the debt. We're just going to spend money. We'll print the paper, and we'll worry about calling in our chips later. Isn't that the way it goes? I mean, both with Republicans and Democrats. Anyway, I laugh because people running around. We have no money, folks. We don't have any money. We're printing money. Did you know that? I mean, come on. Can you imagine people that owe, when they owe everything, you know? We call them rich financial people. I mean, they owe everybody everything. They're borrowed up to the hilt. That's the way our government is. Yesterday, the Treasury Department began deploying so-called extraordinary measures to ensure the government can continue to pay its obligations for the time being. But if the debt ceiling is not raised or suspended, we can no longer issue debt, and we will run out of cash on hand. I think we ought to do that. We ought to stop. I mean, apparently there's nothing, you know, we're playing games, aren't we? Well, we'll raise the debt limit. No, let's not. Oh, yes, let's raise it. What are we doing? It's just phony. It's phony money? Is it monopoly money or what? This is so crazy. It really is.
What do you think we run out of first?
I don't know.
Money itself, paper that we printed on, yes, or the ink that we printed with.
The ink. I think we'll run out of the ink. That'll be it.
I mean,
that's when we stop printing money. We have no ink left.
Is Biden sending Kamala down to Office Depot to pick up a couple of gallons of the printer ink so he can print some more money?
He's trying to send her as far away from him as possible. That's why he sends her down to El Salvador and Nicaragua and stay there, you know.
By the way, I haven't seen her lately.
No.
Have you?
No.
Have you?
And the more we see her,
she's got COVID.
Well, you know who does have COVID?
Yeah.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, and he had been vaccinated.
There was a thing, remember her aides, well, that whole Democratic Party thing that a bunch of her aides had gotten it?
Of course.
And it's a conspiracy thing, but supposedly she's got it and she's been in hiding.
Oh, you think maybe so?
No, I think, yeah, possibly.
I would not be surprised. Every other person in Washington somehow picks up the virus.
Yeah.
Every other person. And now Lindsey Graham gets it. By the way, some Democratic strategist made some sort of creepy joke about maybe Lindsey Graham would die from getting the COVID virus.
Yeah,
that's always cool.
That's pretty sad.
Can you imagine having so few brains that you would publicly say something like that and you want to keep your job? So stupid. It really is. Anyway, you know, I've always wondered about these people that wander around that you never hear about, that are involved in the agencies and all the regulations and all of that stuff, the rulemaking, you know? The behind-the-curtain stuff. Disregard the man behind the curtain. Well, we're gonna open up the blinds. We're going to push the curtain open when we talk with Joe Lupino Esposito from the Pacific Legal Foundation.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Tuesday, August the 3rd. Thank you very much for being with us. We are delighted to welcome Joe Lupino Esposito from the Pacific Legal Foundation, where he is the Deputy Legal Policy Director. And he has penned a piece in The Hill called Pulling Back the Curtain on D.C.'s Rulemakers. Joe, welcome to Freedom Works.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I've always been interested in all these people that scurry about behind the curtain at these agencies, crafting these rules. And the question is whether or not these guys and gals are running amok and how much accountability they really have. Apparently, other people feel that way as well, including yourself, of course. Are they going to try and do something about this in Congress?
Yeah, it looks like they actually are. You know, the encouraging thing that we've seen, thanks to some of our urging, is this new bill that's come out from Ben Klein, a Republican in Virginia, and Jared Golden, a Democrat from Maine. It's called the Ensuring Accountability in Agency Rulemaking Act. And what that does is make it very simple, make the system more constitutional. And it says that if there's a rule that's going to be promulgated or initiated, it needs to come from a senior appointee who's appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. It's really not that difficult, and it's something that the Constitution demands in the first place.
So, all these years, are we having some of these people crafting these rules and kind of getting away with it, unbeknownst to the president, as an example, and even maybe to some of the other top heads in the agency?
You know, I think that's one of the challenges that we've seen when it comes to this conversation. You know, you can call it deep state, you can call it whatever you want, but there is a level of the bureaucracy and the bureaucratic state that sort of just perpetuates on its own. And, you know, the idea shouldn't be that they just promulgate these rules without any oversight from the political branches at all. You know, we talk about politics as if it's a dirty word, but we want to have politics and public officials involved when it comes to the passing of these regulations, which in a lot of ways act just like law. Because when Congress authorizes these laws, they say, we leave it to the agencies to fill in the blanks. Well, they do. And then in turn, they wind up passing these rules and regulations that act as law and put real penalties and real problems on the American public.
Now, you reference in your article, which, by the way, I think is on your website, Pulling Back the Curtain on D.C.'s Rulemakers, a Supreme Court decision in 1976, Buckley versus Valeo. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Right. So the idea is that rulemaking, from Buckley versus Valeo, is that rulemaking can only be done by officers of the United States. And that case wasn't clear enough to say, well, what level does that mean? Does it have to be that senior level? So there have been subsequent cases that have explained and we think suggest that that actually would be the requirement if this were directly challenged again. And at Pacific Legal Foundation, we've done some of this challenging. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court has not picked up the case yet. But just in the last year, we actually went after the Trump FDA for some of the rules and regulations they passed regarding vaping products and how they were determined to be tobacco products. And when we first looked into it, we recognized that the person who promulgated this rule was not a senior appointee. Now, the agency tried to cure it by saying it was ratified later by a senior appointee, and that's perhaps why the case wasn't taken up by the courts. But, you know, when we look long-term and why we kind of looked at the FDA in particular, we did a study over 17 years and found that there were thousands of rules, about 3,000 of them, that were not done by senior officials at HHS. And specifically at FDA, 98% of the rules, we believe, were done unconstitutionally over a 17-year period.
Wow. We're talking with Joe Lupino Esposito, Deputy Legal Policy Director of the Pacific Legal Foundation, about pulling back the curtain on some of these bureaucrats that go running around. Every time I hear the word career bureaucrat, I get this cold feeling up and down my spine. You know? you worry so much about these people. But, you know, it's funny. They're about to try and pass a reconciliation bill in Congress, and nobody will have read it. And an infrastructure bill, and nobody will have read it. And remember when Nancy Pelosi said, we have to pass the legislation before we can take a look at it? You remember that silly statement of hers? But yet it's true. Now, supposedly, these assistants to these legislators go through the bills and read them. But it's just become, this thing with the agencies, you know, it's just, I think that the overall situation, is it not, in Washington, is one of some, to some extent, is one of ignorance of what we are passing and marching to.
Yeah, and I think that's a serious problem. You know, over time, we've seen more of the power base and really where a lot of the, you know, it's not lawmaking, but something that looks a lot like lawmaking is happening in agencies. And that's a real problem. You know, it's not to take away, you know, from the fact that some of these folks are the experts, and there's room for this, right, to say they should be working on these problems. We don't need individual members of Congress doing research on these things. But the problem is, that if they don't come back to the legislature to confirm that this is the wish of the legislature or this is the wish of the executive, then they're sort of just acting as their own branch of government, and that's not how we're set up.
So let's get back to this bill. The bill's main purpose is to require all rules to be signed by individuals who have been appointed by the president. Now, do you think this thing has a ghost of a chance of getting passed?
So this is a funny bill because, you know, right at the end of President Trump's administration, he passed a very similar executive order that only focused on those who've been appointed by the president, not those confirmed by the Senate. And we thought, gee, of all the executive orders that the president did, we certainly knew a good handful were going to be overturned by President Biden. But some of the folks from Pacific Legal Foundation actually wrote in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere saying, you know, this is not really a partisan issue. And if anything, you should probably strengthen it to ensure that these rules will be upheld. If you want your administration to put forward rules, no matter who you are, you got to make sure that they're constitutional. And unfortunately, about 30, 40 days in, President Biden overturned the executive order and rescinded it. The fact that we have a bipartisan sponsorship of this bill, I think it's a good indicator that people who are serious about good government and actually want to have this sort of check on the executive branch can really get together on this issue, and it should not be a partisan one. So, you know, I'm not sure about this Congress. Not a lot's getting done. Like you said, they're wrapped up in reconciliation and infrastructure and who knows what else. But, you know, I think if people are ready to sit down and actually do some lawmaking, this has a fighting chance.
Yeah. Well, it starts at the top, and Biden himself, and to some extent so did Trump, they issue executive orders with no accountability. They do it themselves, and now we're supposed to think that they're going to hold those under them responsible. You know what I mean? It seems like if it starts at the top with these executive orders, it's kind of a wink and a nod, you know, that it'll be business as usual. It's very scary, in my opinion, because we are, I think in many ways, we are violating the Constitution's separation of powers, and I wanted to get your thought on that.
Yeah, absolutely. You nailed it on the head there. It's a separation of powers issue. you know, the executive branch is supposed to execute the laws, not write their own laws. You know, this is the same problem that we talked about at Pacific Legal in regards to legislation lawsuits about what the governors were doing. You know, they have some emergency power, but it should not be how many months into 2 weeks are we at right now?
Right.
You know, that's not the way this is supposed to go. And the same thing goes for the president of the United States. You know, that's just not the way the system is set up. And I think it's from a failure of Congress to actually get things done. And then, of course, the overpowering idea that the executive is the executive and he or she should be able to do whatever they choose because they're the elected leader.
Yeah.
Well, so are the members of Congress. But then that's why we have a separation of powers, that we have this split, and that we can't just allow one person to run away with the store.
Well, you know, with the pandemic, we are really caught in a catch-22. I mean, I think everybody understands a little bit of whatever you want to call it. It used to be called something like martial law. You know, we have a crisis, so therefore the governor or the mayor or maybe the president is going to promulgate something, and we're all going to follow it just for a short period of time. So therefore we come up with all of these different little things that are going on that are promulgated from Washington. You're not going to have to pay your rent for a while because we have a virus. You're going to have to wear a mask when you come into a government building because we have a virus. We're going to shut down the schooling system in your community for a while because we have a virus. And so we do all of these temporary things, and we kind of understand why they're being done. But the trick is, when do we not do those things anymore? And is there any kind of power grab going on in the interim? I would say that there is, to some extent, that there is this reluctance to cede back the freedom to the people, you know? Now, I know we're kind of off subject, but it's kind of connected to what we're talking about here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, and we do a lot of work on this at Pacific Legal. You know, we actually proposed a model policy that has gotten around to a good number of states now. The idea was that the governor, first of all, is the only one that can declare a statewide emergency. It cannot be given to a health director or some other person who is not elected. So let's at least keep it to the elected folks. But even so, if you are in a state where the legislature does not meet year-round and an emergency is declared in the interim, the governor would be forced to bring the legislature back into session so that within 30 days they can sit down and figure out what parts of the emergency declaration should still stand after a month. Because again, like exactly what you said, most of the time our perception of what an emergency would be is something that's, you know, new, emergent, and we're not sure about what's going on. But throughout the pandemic, I mean, obviously things have changed, but that's all the more reason why there needs to be constant communication between elected officials and not just giving it all to one person saying, look, we just trust you absolutely. Just take it away. That's a shirking of responsibility from the legislature, and certainly not one that I think they envisioned when they wrote in a lot of these laws granting the governor emergency power. I mean, we saw in New York, they actually gave the governor more at the beginning of the pandemic and then pulled a whole bunch of it back after the nursing home scandal was
canceled. Right.
So that's sort of your perfect example of why you don't want to do that and why you want the legislature to be involved in this process when, after a couple of days, really, you're coming into lawmaking, and that's what's happened in all these states. And to your point about how they are taking a power grab, I mean, again, to go back to New York, Governor Cuomo has said he's declaring a public health emergency regarding gun violence. In Washington, we're hearing about how racism is a national health emergency. So let's not be surprised when, after having 18 months or so of this power, some governors start to flex the muscle a little bit more and just change the topic and see what they can get away with.
I think you are so right, Joe. And very interesting discussion with you on this. I'm so happy that the Pacific Legal Foundation is kind of at the forefront on this legislation with agencies and rulemakers. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great conversation. Thanks for having me.
All right. Joe Lupino Esposito. All righty. Going to take our break. When we come back, Biden press secretary Jen Psaki, they must be afraid of Ron DeSantis and what he might be able to do down the road. She's tearing into the Florida governor on his handling of the pandemic. We're going to get some thoughts about that and some other things from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And thank you so very much for being with us. We are here, by the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And we thank you for joining us. If, however, you're not able to listen to us live, we do have a podcast set up, thanks to Big Ed. You go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Click on the podcast button. There are the shows. Most recent at the top, you'll see who the guest will be and the top 10, all of that. Thank you, Big Ed, for doing that. Ourfreedomworks.com. Well, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki yesterday was taking punches at Florida Governor Ron DeSantis over his handling of the virus situation. He accused DeSantis, she did, of choosing politics over public health. Now, during her briefing yesterday, she said that the administration was, quote, ready and available to provide federal assistance, whether that is Florida or any other part of the country, she said. After Florida broke some records over the weekend with new cases, and she made a point of saying 20% of the cases we're seeing are in Florida. She says that there are steps that can be taken, including people getting vaccinated and wearing masks, allowing schools to mandate masks, allowing kids to wear masks, which she said is not the current state of play in Florida. Well, that's not true. That's not true. DeSantis made mask wearing optional. He didn't ban it. He did not prohibit students from wearing masks. So we got the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, I know you're a big Ron DeSantis, and as am I, fan. Do you think that Jen Psaki and the Biden administration is a little bit afraid of the potential of Ron DeSantis?
Well, you know, Paul, it's amazing, because they came out with this yesterday, but you know what else came out yesterday, Paul?
What was that?
Florida, if it was its own country, is the 15th largest economy in the world.
We should be our own country. Let's break away.
Okay.
Yeah.
15th largest. You think the Democrats are afraid what Ron DeSantis is doing here?
Yeah.
Of course they are, Paul. Again, this whole pandemic, I believe, is a bunch of bull crap. It's gone on politically, and they're going to keep this going until the election of 2022 because it's all they have. They're trying to put the country in a panic again. And you know what? The country's not going in a panic, Paul. The only one that's panicking is the Democrats. They know Biden's a complete failure. They know that they're lying about this whole pandemic. They even got the media lying about it. The hospitals are packed. I believe they even got some of these doctors, okay, these liberal doctors backing up their statements, because I hear totally conflicting statements from people that are working in hospitals, Paul.
Yeah. I haven't noticed, in my traveling around, although I'm only one person, I haven't noticed a big change in things. I think, notice more people putting masks on again.
Halloween's around the corner.
Yes, indeed, that's true.
Halloween's around the corner, Paul. You know the only step I'm taking in my barbershop, just to make people feel comfortable, is we're taking temperatures for all my customers.
That's a good idea.
There's no liberal to customers that are coming in. We got a horse rectal thermometer we're using on them. We got electronic. Everybody else.
Okay? You're such a thoughtful man.
Paul.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Do you know Joe Biden in 1 year is letting more illegal immigrants in this country than there are population in 12 states in this country? You want to talk about an insurrection? That's an insurrection of U.S. citizens, Paul.
As a matter of fact, and we were talking with Neville Kramer, who was an immigration consultant, security expert kind of guy, yesterday. He thinks there's about 30 million illegal immigrants in our country. That's bigger than every state, maybe not California, but the other 49. There are more illegals wandering around our country than all the states except California.
So, Paul, then you tell me, how worried are they about this pandemic?
They're not.
You can't tell me it's not bullcrap.
I agree with you, and they have no answer.
The media is backing.
And why doesn't the media pin Jen Psaki and Biden to the wall on this and ask them that? If you're so
they don't ask them anything except how his ice cream tastes.
Yeah,
you know, Paul, we're reaching herd immunity herd stupidity in this country. Not herd immunity. We have reached herd stupidity.
Yes.
Okay.
It's catching.
I'm telling you,
it's catching.
The population in this country. And they're herd stupidity, my friend. This whole pandemic thing, if they think they're going to lock down the country, let me tell you something. They tried it again. What you see going on in Europe is going to happen here, but 10 times worse.
Here's what I think, though, Andrew. I want to get your thought. The more that the Democrats try to fan the flames of the pandemic, it actually works in reverse. It makes the Biden administration look feckless.
Well, I'm going to tell you who's going to make the Biden administration look senseless. It's going to be Ron DeSantis.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Ron DeSantis is going to make the whole Biden administration look like the biggest dummies in the world, because these morons want to shut down the cities again, don't go to school. You know, the teachers' union, talk about herd stupidity. You got people working in the grocery stores, okay, facing thousands of people a day to make sure they're fed with all this pandemic going on. And the teachers are afraid to go to school with 20 kids in a class? Come on.
I don't think that they'll stand for it, the parents. I really don't.
No.
I
think they need to do a Ronald Reagan and fire all the teachers like they did the air traffic controllers and start all over again.
I don't think it would hurt if we got rid of the teachers' unions and all the teachers that ascribe to the union philosophy. I think you're right. I think it would be better if we did fire them. I think in the long run, the kids would be better educated.
You get rid of all of them. You get rid of the news media, and you got the pandemic gone. Believe me.
Yeah. Oh, that we could wave a magic wand and do that. But, Andrew, we cannot. We can only talk through these things. It would seem to me that the parents, as I said, are not going to stand for schools being closed. They're not going to stand for kids sitting in front of a computer at home rather than in a classroom in a desk. They want those kids back for a couple of reasons. They want the kids to be really learning. And quite frankly, the parents, need to get on with their lives during the school day, too.
Well, Paul, they need to be socializing, okay? We got a bunch of social dummies running around today.
That's true.
They don't know how to talk to people. They don't know how to act around people. They can't even think for themselves without being told. And that's because they're sheltering them like it's going out of style. Let these kids go out, play in the dirt,
yes,
play baseball, play football, get hurt, get cut, break a leg.
Yes, sir. I agree. You know, it's funny, and I guess it makes me sound like an old goofy guy, but when we were kids, we were running around, outside doing things, didn't have a computer. TV was probably not allowed for a lot of these kids until after supper. So during the, you know, the late afternoons and everything else, we were out doing things and having fun with the other kids.
Well, the only thing this has done is made the Husky Boys department sell clothes like crazy. Because now you have a generation of kids that are totally out of shape,
true,
can't function, and can't think.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's a very scary kind of society. You know, it's almost the kind of thing that you would see written by George Orwell or somebody. You know what I mean? The one that wrote 1984.
Well, Paul, it's like I tell everybody, they keep doing what they're doing. They're going to see how dangerous all these old farts like us can be. They have no clue yet.
So we're talking with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi, who, by the way, will take your temperature. Isn't that nice? He's not only going to give you a nice haircut, he's going to tell you if you're healthy. I like that very much.
If you got a fever, you can't come in the shop. And again, if you're a liberal, we're going to take your temperature too. I got the thermometer.
This is terrible, but yeah, I mean, this is what we need to do. So
you gotta wake him up, Paul.
Yeah,
we got herd stupidity going.
Herd stupidity, true. We've got an election coming up where DeSantis will be running again. And I guess your buddy Charlie Crist thinks that he has a shot at becoming the governor again. I guess you just never lose a taste for that kind of thing.
Charlie Crist never loses a taste of being a bullcrapper. You know that.
Yeah, I do.
Since when does the agriculture commissioner start going on television talking about the COVID and this and that and what the governor should be doing? She can't handle the job she's got now, or she's going to run for governor. Give me a break.
Yeah. And she is thinking about running.
No, she already is in there.
She is running.
She's holding up on showing her financials because she always has mistakes in her financials, you know?
Oh, I see. Yeah. You know, the Tampa Bay Times, which will never endorse Ron DeSantis, they could run a bull elephant against him. You know what I mean? They'll never endorse him. But I think the people in Florida have caught on. I think he's in like Flynn. I don't think he's going to lose.
I don't think anybody's going to beat him, Paul.
I don't either.
They don't have a leg to stand on. Look at his record. Look at their record.
Yeah.
Unless the herd stupidity kicks in, I don't think he's got nothing to worry about. And like I say, when he goes through this pandemic and they see that Florida is going to be the 10th largest economy because we didn't shut down in the world, the guy's going to be a superstar.
Now, I kind of...
Biden administration look like fools.
I kind of like the way they take things into hand in North Korea. Kim Jong-un has executed a military officer after the guy criticized the dictator's order to supply food to North Korea's starving people. The guy basically said, we don't have no stinking rice left to pass out. So they took him and put him in front of a wall and they executed him. He was court-martialed and shot. I'll say one thing, though. Justice is swift in North Korea. That's one thing about some of these countries, you know. We take a long time to administer our justice. But
justice system in this country, Washington, would be empty.
Yes, I think so, too. But I just thought I'd mention that you know, when you speak badly in North Korea of certain people, your life is shortened considerably. And so this is just one more reason why I think we're kind of glad we live in this country. This is why I can't stomach people that would turn their back during the Pledge of Allegiance because they're an Olympian and they don't think everything is 100% the way it should be.
You know, Paul, look at what happened to Ms. Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah.
She's getting everything she deserves. Talk about having to eat poop. I can't wait to see the sandwich place dump her. Subway, they're going to dump her. Believe me. They don't like losers in this country, and they're proven. They're nothing but losers.
They're
talk, but they can't walk the walk.
I'll be honest with you. I think there was a lot of people in our country when they heard that the women's soccer team lost to Canada, they went, yes!
We were cheering, Paul. Everybody.
I think so, too.
Lighting off fireworks in my neighborhood.
Oh, goodness me. You are always...
You know, they get what they deserve, Paul.
Yeah.
They don't realize how blessed they are to live in this
country.
Right. Every opportunity in the world. Look at the opportunity they had and where they are and where they're going, and they're ruining it. People don't even want to look at them.
I think you're right. I think most people, they really are. It's a stomach-turning thing to watch these people diss our flag or turn their back. It's just not, especially when they're coddled like they are as Olympians. You know what I mean? I just can't believe it.
Okay, look, Paul, I haven't watched one thing of the Olympians. And you know what? I'm losing more and more faith in all these sports. I know Ed was saying the other day when they're talking about the NFL playing the Black National Anthem, he says it's not going to happen, but I'm hearing all over the place that it's happening.
I just don't see how they can do that and want to keep,
that's good,
keep their viewers.
You'll be watching them.
I mean, how they can do that and want to keep their viewers, is, you know, it's beyond me.
They're ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I didn't realize, I then read a story, I want to ask you about it. When your brother was on with you yesterday, he mentioned something about the Buffalo Bills Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Remember about that?
Yeah, he was talking that they're asking the taxpayers to pay for it.
Well, that's correct.
The same thing here, didn't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course they do. They want to take your money when you buy a ticket. They also want you to build their stadium. But here's my point. Buffalo, the Buffalo football ownership has threatened to move their team to Texas if Buffalo doesn't build them a new, brand new stadium.
See you later.
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares?
I was going to say,
cares?
Don't let the door hit your rear end on the way out.
Sports don't even intrigue me no more. I look at these people and it's disgusting.
Yeah. Well, as always, we appreciate your thoughts, my friend, and I cannot wait to talk with you again on Friday. Thank you so much, Andrew.
You got it, Paul. You have a good day, my friend.
And the same to you, my friend. There he goes. Always the opinionated, energetic Andrew Ceresi. Going to take our final break. When we come back, we've been talking about the virus. A new Gallup poll is out on how Americans feel about our handling of the disease. Not too optimistic. We're going to take a look at it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. This just in, New York City residents and visitors to the Big Apple will be required to show proof of vaccination. Show proof of vaccination if they want to go into a dining place to eat. They want to go to a show. They want to go to a gymnasium. Now, I can't think of a better way to keep tourists out than to do something like this. Can you imagine that? Now, I understand wearing a mask and going into a restaurant, but am I going to stand in line now and show my vaccination card, Ed, to go and eat? Would you do that? Would you go to New York knowing you would have to do that?
First of all, who the heck wants to go to New York? I don't want to visit New York now. Not for a while.
Yeah.
But
you know, isn't this going overboard? Don't you think it's going overboard to require?
At some point, Paul, we got to say, look, there's a group of people that don't want to get vaccinated, and unless you get them vaccinated at gunpoint, they're not going to do it, okay? The vaccine is
right there.
It's where you shop. So all you got to do is just dip your head in the window and, hey, I'd like a shot. And they give you a nice shot in the arm. It doesn't cost anything. But there are people that don't want to put these things in their body, period. They don't like shots. They don't like vaccines or whatever. Then there are the group that are waiting, supposedly, for the FDA to approve it so they know it's safe because they don't trust it. The other people are the Trumpsters that feel, even though Trump came up with the virus, I mean, came up with the vaccine, paid for it, got it distributed on its way distributed, feels that somehow the Biden administration has probably switched the serum and it's going to mess up their minds. Or the other theory is there's a microchip in the vaccine so they can track you. Or they're going to magnetize you, that people have gotten shots, and if you hold a quarter to where you got a shot, it'll stick to your arm. There's all those theories out there.
You're right about that.
And
you and I both have the vaccination now. However, my question is, do you agree that you need to show that you were vaccinated to go in and get a hamburger?
I don't think you need to, but if you want to and if you're okay with it, I don't see a problem.
But do you think the mayor of the city should mandate that, or do you
mandate? No, stay out of it.
Exactly.
Stay
That's
out of
my
it.
Point.
Okay.
My point.
I went and got. I actually got my card laminated because I feel in the future I'm going to be pulling it out
That's
of my wallet.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
So
I have mine in my glove compartment.
You know, and with the Bucks and everything, with the NFL being so tight on this variant, this Delta variant. I went ahead and sent the proof that they didn't ask for. I sent them proof that I've been vaccinated.
Yeah, that's good.
Ahead of the game.
I'm with you on all of that, and I want people to realize that the vaccination is good. You know, don't go half-cocked about there's some sort of a conspiracy going on.
When we first started, we were worried about the elderly, which rightfully so. Do you know that if you look at the statistics, in Florida alone, 90% of the elderly, 60 and above, have been vaccinated. So we've accomplished the goal is to immediately get the ones that it was killing first. Now, at some point, we got to say, look, we need to move on with our lives. This thing's just not going to, we're not going to eradicate this thing. It's always going to be around in some form where somebody's going to catch
it. It's going to be like the flu coming and then coming
gonna,
and
yeah,
going.
The flu. They're going to have the sniffles or whatever.
Yeah.
We need to move on with our lives.
We have to, Yeah, exactly. We have to exist, and we might have to exist with this thing.
I mean, we keep
floating
taking
around.
We keep taking a baby step forward, a big one back. A baby step forward, a big one back. Let's start walking forward.
Okay, sounds good. I want to get to the story before our top 10. In a dramatic shift from last month, more Americans now say the coronavirus situation in the U.S. is getting worse rather than better. By 45% to 40%. It's getting worse. In June, 2 months ago, a record 89% said things were getting better. So look how quickly we've turned 180 degrees on this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're very pessimistic again. Current survey marks the first time since January that U.S. adults have been more pessimistic than optimistic. There was greater pessimism than optimism for most of 2020. At its worst, 73% said the situation was bad. But we're going back that way, I guess, because of this new Delta variant thing. And I don't know. I guess we want to keep our optimism up. Maybe we're looking at it as a major bump, but we're going to get over the bump.
And a lot of people don't trust the government, and that's
true.
I don't either. You know, because when we got the vaccine started coming out and flowing, the Biden administration also, and then Dr. Fauci came out and said, "Well, we're having a
Who
problem.
Do you trust,
we're,
right?
We're having a problem getting the younger generation, the 18 and under, getting them vaccinated." Okay, they're not kind of wanting to do it. Then all of a sudden, here comes Delta variant that's now targeting the young people. Now all of a sudden, it's targeting a specific age.
A younger group.
So, and we just happen to want to get them vaccinated. So maybe we'll scare them getting vaccinated. Now, what the lawmakers are doing. They're gonna pit this guy against me because we're friends. He didn't get vaccinated. I did. I'm gonna yell at him and defriend him and say, "Listen, you're holding this country up. Go get vaccinated."
Yeah,
that's what they want to. Just like politics.
So you think that
Democrat and Republican.
So there is some conspiratorial.
Sure it is.
Okay.
If they can't get it done, they'll leave it in our hands.
Okay, wow. All right, my friend. It is time for our top 10. And I thought it would be kind of interesting to see who are the top 10 athletes that have the most Olympic medals of all time. I want to see if you know, Ed. You may know.
I think so.
I think you do. But we're going to find out. So here we go. Number 10. Jenny Thompson of the United States. She was a swimmer. From 1992 to 2004, she was in the Olympics. She won 12 medals altogether, 8 gold, 3 silver, and 1 bronze. Pretty good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You remember Jenny Thompson?
No.
Okay. By the way, there's a tie here.
Okay.
So let's go with the drum roll one more time. Sawao Kato of Japan.
Oh,
Sawao. You remember. Yeah. I knew you remembered. So, wow. In gymnastics, 68 to 76, he won 12 gold medals. Also, drum roll again. Birgit Fischer of East Germany, and she was a canoer.
Mm.
She managed to canoe and paddle her rear end to get 12 gold medals. That's pretty good, isn't it?
A lot of paddling.
It is a lot of paddling. All right. We have a lot of people at 12, so I got one more. Roll the drum. Bjørn Dali of Norway, cross-country skiing. So we're including the Winter Olympics then.
Okay.
All right. 92 through 98. He cross-country skied. He did a lot of cross-country and won 12 gold medals.
Oh.
All right. Number 7. Another Norwegian, Ole Einar Bjørndal, in the biathlon Winter Olympics 98 through 2014. Wow, this person was in for a long time. 13 gold medals. Number 6. Marit Jorgen, another Norwegian, cross-country skiing again, 2002 through 18. 15 gold medals. Number 5. Remember Carl Lewis?
Yes.
Carl Lewis. Athletics, they called it back then. 12 years, he from 84 to 96. Summer Olympics, 10. Let's see, 9-1. Why do they have him fifth? Oh, I see, because he had the most gold medals. 9. Mm. All right. Anyway, he has 10 gold medals. Number 4. Mark Spitz. You remember Mark Spitz?
No.
You don't?
No.
He was a great swimmer. 1968 to 72. 11 total medals, 9 of them gold. Number 3. Paavo Nummi of Finland.
Mm.
Wow, this goes back. 1920 to 1928 Summer Games. They just called the sport athletics at that time. He won 12 medals, 9 of which were gold. Number 2. Larisa Latinina of the Soviet Union in gymnastics from 1956 to 1964. She won 18 medals.
Wow.
All right, Ed. Who do you think is the number one winner of the most Olympic medals?
Shot in the dark, but Greg Louganis was pretty good at swimming, so I'll go with him.
Greg Louganis, all right. But you're wrong.
Oh.
I don't know how you missed Michael Phelps.
Oh!
Michael Phelps in swimming.
Okay. How many did you get?
28.
Wow, that's a heck of a trophy case.
He had 10 more than the second place finisher. Isn't that amazing?
He probably need a couple of trophy cases
for
those.
He won 23 of them were gold. He needs a whole room. All right.
How much is a gold medal worth?
That's a good question. Okay. Gold, if there's real gold in it, a lot.
Cash it in.
Well, thanks so much. We're going to be back on Monday. Please drive carefully and remember freedom works.
Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kathan. The COVID rules will...